Now, it was my chore every morning to go for fresh bread, fresh eggs, or whatever it was for this big sort of massive big breakfast every morning. So I went down to the shop, Julie got the stuff, was on my way back. Now, when I was on my way back, there was a fella on a horse. Now, it wouldn't have been a race horse, it would more have been like a hunter horse or a hunter chaser. And he was coming walking along the footpath just at the Sands Hotel, and he was coming facing me. There were two or three young children walking sort of towards him on the footpath. And as they came forward to the horse, they had this little dog, and they lifted it up, as children would do, to protect the dog. And the next thing that I saw was the horse bucked up on its hind legs, and I immediately slammed on the brakes. And it actually came down on top of my... I had a little mini minor car, as it was then. It actually came down on it. Now, it bent the left-hand pillar of the windscreen. It actually didn't break. It didn't break the windscreen, but it was amazing how much the windscreen bent and didn't break. And it broke the wing mirror and things like that there. And I was absolutely terrified and really, really frightened. I was really frightened after it whenever, you know, I sort of thought of the potential consequences. But the funny thing was, of course, all the hungry hippos were at home sort of waiting on me coming back and saying, what the hell's keeping him? And of course, as soon as I got out of the car, I was met with this barrage of, where the hell were you? What kept you, this, that, and the other thing? And there I am, standing shaking, as white as a sheet, wasn't even given an opportunity to explain what had happened. And then, of course, eventually, and after some considerable time, whenever all this had died down, I was able to tell them what happened. But it was a frightening experience. And, you know, I always sort of thought that if the horse just had put his hoof through the window, if it had caught me in the chest and used that as sort of leverage to sort of get itself back out again, you know, it was a scary experience, you know, but I think it was almost symptomatic of what sort of happened on that holiday, because there were, as you know...
Could you really call it a holiday?
Well, you know, there's been television programmes done with less material in them, you know. Yeah.
Were you ever in any other situations like that where you thought you were going to die?
Yes.
When?
In 1970, I went to a football match in Glasgow. It was actually a Scottish Cup final. And I went with a friend of mine called Paul McAleen. And we went on Saturday morning and we got the train from Belfast to Larne, the boat from Larne to Stranraer, the train from Stranraer to Glasgow, and then the suburb or the city service from Glasgow Central to a railway station called Mount Florida, which is the railway station that services Hampden Park. Now, the match was over, and as it so happened, it was a draw. But whenever the match was over, the grim reality struck us that we had no way of getting home. We hadn't sort of provided for getting home. But what we did know was there was a boat went from Hesham to Belfast. It was always known as the Hesham boat, so we thought we could get it. So we bowled along to Glasgow Central Station and to get the train to Hesham, to get the boat from Hesham and the overnight sailing back to Belfast. So when we were at the wrong railway station. And by the time we got to Glasgow Queen Street, the train had left for Hesham. It may well be the other way around, you can't remember. So we spoke to the guy anyhow at the ticket office, and we said to him about... But we knew there was this boat that left from The Mullican Tower, a place called Campbelltown on the Mullican Tower.
I know exactly where that is, yeah.
And I went across to Red Bay in County Antrim. Mm. And we knew that there was another sort of group of fellas on a minibus who had booked onto it.
Mm.
So we said to the guy, anyhow, he said, you can get a train a good part of the way. So we said, how far? Well, he says, you'll get a train to a place called Gearlock Head.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, fair enough. So we got 2 tickets to Gearlock Head, and we got out in Gearlock Head. Now, I mean, this was 1970, it was just 38 years ago. All I sort of remember, we seemed to be almost on the side of a hill, on the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to the porter on the station, I said, where's the town? How do you get into the town from here? He says, there isn't a town here. So we made our way down this sort of very narrow winding path down onto the road, and we came to like a crossroads.
Mm.
And I went into the shop because we hadn't ate from maybe 12 o'clock. And we went in, and remember we got cold meat pies and milk was about all we could get, which wasn't a very tasty mix. And I said to the woman, what time would we get a bus to Campbelltown is?
Mm.
She says there's only a bus that goes to Campbelltown on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And I said, how far is it? Oh, she says it's 120, it's 130 miles. Now, we're stuck away out in the middle of Scotland, maybe 70 miles from Scotland. And we had to make a decision. Not only that, we didn't have a lot of money.
Mm.
We had to make a decision. Were we going to go back, or we're going to try and make it to Campbelltown? Because mm-hmm. the only thing that we didn't know was that there was a boat left Campbelltown on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
Mm.
So we just said, well, plenty of time, we'll hitch a lift. So we hadn't walked very far anyhow, and this car came along, and this guy stopped, and he said, you want a lift? We said, yeah. So we went into the car anyhow, you know. Where are you going, Campbelltown? Oh, God, he says, you've a long journey in front of you.
Mm.
So I said to him, how far are you going? I says, I'm only going 3 or 4 miles down the road here. So anyhow, we got out of the car, it was like a Scotch mist, and as we'd call it in Scotland, a drake,
mm-hmm.
sort of an evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't have been any more bleak, and we were sort of getting almost further away from civilization. We went then, and we walked another bit. Now, there was this fella coming along, I always remember he was an English guy, a real sort of flashy guy, but he'd got this Scottish girl with him.
Mm.
And we got into the back of the car, and he said, where are you going? We said, Campbelltown. And we said to him, have you ever been there? And he says, no, I haven't. Oh, he said, God, it's a beautiful place. You really want to see it. You know, when you're this far, you need to go and see it. It's the gateway to the Highlands. It's not within 100, 200 miles of even the road to the Highlands. I mean, you know where it is.
I do.
But anyhow, we went through this town. We went through the town of Arracher. And we then got to the town called Inverary, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, this is as far as I'm going. And we were really getting quite desperate at this stage. Mm-hmm. So the next place we landed was to the police station to get some advice mm-hmm. or some counsel as to what we should do. So the guy said to us, well, he said, it's a long way, he said, and he said, you won't get a lift. He says, there's very little traffic on that road, particularly on a Saturday night.
Mm.
And now the fact that it was getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, like, really, your only solution, as he says, is to get a taxi.
Oh, my God.
So this policeman actually negotiated with a local taxi man. And he drove us to Campbelltown. Now, I always remember it cost us £14, which was in 1970. I think it was 70 or 71. It might have been 71. So this guy drove us, and I was so tired and so exhausted, and I was in the back. But I always remember getting him to stop the car, and I was sick. And this sort of virtually unmasticated cold pie and milk sort of lying on the side of the road. But anyhow, we eventually arrived, and fair play to the taxi man, he sort of knew somebody who had a small hotel, and he booked us in.
Mm.
But like, I remember we arrived in Campbelltown, I suppose about 11 o'clock at night, in this beautiful little room, double room, lovely and warm. And I said, oh God, thank God we're here. Couldn't have cared less, you know. So everything was straightforward then. We get up the next morning, a beautiful breakfast, starting off, traditional Scottish breakfast, started off with porridge. Lovely fry, everything else. So we then decided it was time to head down to get the ferry. Now, the ferry wasn't exactly what we had expected. It looked to me like a fishing boat that somebody had put a back door on. And I always remember there was, and funny, I saw a minibus of guys were there waiting to get on, who we knew. Always remember there were a crowd of guys from Royal Belfast Golf Club in a lovely big Volvo car and their blazers, and you know where those people would dress on a Sunday morning.
Oh, absolutely.
But there was this lorry on the back of the, or a trailer actually, on the back of the boat. And there was this sort of brief consultation between the guy who was driving the boat, now I suppose you would call him the captain and somebody. So they decided they would take it off. And there were not a couple of cars come on. So anyhow, we started off. And we were sort of making our way across, I think, what's known as the Firth of Clyde.
Right.
And we come past the Ailsa Craig Rock. Well, they asked me that anything else ever frightening ever happened to me. Well, there was 1 minute you could have put your hand in the water, and the next minute you were up with the seagulls. The boat was tossing that much. And I always remember it cost us 12 shillings like to get across. So it must have been 1970, because decimalisation was the 1st of February 1971.
True.
So it must have been before then. But anyhow, whenever you get on, they give you a bag. Now, the bag wasn't if you were sick, it's when you were sick. Well, I had literally been so sick. And I was almost in a situation where if somebody had said to me, just going down, you'd have said, well, you know, thanks be to God for that, you know, if you get out of this, you know. But I eventually fell asleep, and I remember then I woke up just as we were reversing into this Red Bay, which is down near Waterford, down at Waterford, down the Antrim coast. Of course, we're in Red Bay and we've nowhere to get to Belfast, which is about 60 miles away. This is really...
And work on Monday morning.
Work on Monday morning. Now, this is really strategic planning ahead. So we eventually got...
You need to listen to this.
A couple of lifts to Belfast. Well, his wife is called. And we walked in, and I mean, I tell you this day, the colour of our faces was unbelievable. And I'm not joking, my ribs and rib cage were sore for 2 weeks from retching and nothing in my stomach. And I remember when we were walking along the road, he said to me, he says, you'll tell this story to your grandchildren. Well, I have told that story so many times because, like, you know, you talk about following a football team and talking about bad organisation and everything else. But that, like, just was the pits of everything, you know.